song. We can't really make this your home, but maybe that song gives you a little bit of sense of being at home. All right. Well, I want to welcome you, especially if you're visiting us this morning. We're so glad that you're here at New City Fellowship. If you're looking for a church home and a church family, we'd love to talk with you more about what God is doing among us and invite you to walk with us as we follow Christ together. We're going to have a shorter sermon this morning, as Adina mentioned, and then a congregational meeting after that. I do want to also just highlight one announcement that Adina made. This class that's starting next week, our adult ed classes are at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning. And this would be a great class for you to join in and learn. We have members of our church who every day are serving and caring for people who are in hard places, whether that's homeless, whether that's very at-risk youth here in the city, whether that's people with mental illness or people who are sick or people who are dying. And we're all going to have opportunities as we follow Jesus to love people in these places, but it's hard. And so this class is an opportunity for us to learn from one another. I'd invite you to come starting next week. So, all right, we're going to look at God's Word in Ruth this morning. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Ruth chapter 1. You can also see the text in your bulletin and behind me. I've asked Larry Rice if he would just lead us in prayer. Larry is a friend of our church, of course, a wonderful servant and advocate, especially among the homeless here. So would you lead us as we look at God's Word?
Father, we hear the cries of the hurting, the fatherless, the widowed, the hurting, the homeless in our broken world. We see the injustice. And Lord, we ask that you would just anoint our dear pastor, Kevin, and just grant him wisdom as he speaks concerning that. Grant us the loyalty of Ruth to remain steadfast in the calling that you have given us, Lord God. We come before you at this time. Help us not only to hear these cries, but respond under the leading and anointing of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Last week we heard from Roy. 2 weeks ago, we started our sermon series on the book of Ruth. And just as a reminder, if you weren't here, during that time, we talked about bonds of love in a broken world and the reality of the pain and the suffering and the loss that Naomi experienced. Naomi, whose name means pleasant, was living in a time when there was a famine in Bethlehem, the house of bread. And so she had to leave and go to Moab with her husband, Elimelech, which means my Lord is the king. And as they went, while they were in Moab, they were, of course, aliens and strangers there. And during that time, Elimelech, my Lord the king, died, along with Naomi's two sons. And she was left with her two daughters-in-law, all three of them, childless and widows. And in her pain and in her sorrow, she believes that her life is over. But what we saw in this beginning of the story of the book of Ruth was this wonderful picture of bonds of love, steadfast love, covenant love, hesed love between Ruth and Naomi. Ruth, who said, "Wherever you go, I will go. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God." And we saw the call to live that kind of steadfast love out with one another. But we also were reminded that this is the very heart of the love of God for you. His steadfast love. His faithfulness. God has bound himself to us. This morning we want to look at the later verses in this chapter, and we want to think about cries of pain in a broken world. I want us to enter into this story a little bit this morning and think about Naomi's pain and Ruth's love and this question of where is God? And I want us to see this story through the lens of a few different eyes. I want us to see it from Naomi's perspective, and I want us to learn from Naomi this morning how to cry out, how to lament when we're in those times of pain and suffering and we see the injustice in our world. And I want us to see this story through the lens of Ruth. And I want us to learn a little bit this morning about how to love those who are in pain. How to care for those who are deeply hurting. And then I want us to see with the eyes of the narrator and reflect on where is God in the midst of this story. Just follow with me if you would. I'm going to read a few of the verses that we read last week, Ruth 1, verses 11 through 14, and then 19 through 22. Naomi said to her daughters-in-law, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope." She doesn't. "But even if she did, even if I should have a husband this night who should bear you sons, would you wait until they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord goes out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Verse 19, "So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women said, 'Is this Naomi?' She said to them, 'Do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara,' which means bitter. 'For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? When the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me.' So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest." You and I, church, need to learn how to live in a world where there's pain and suffering and injustice. We've got to grow in our ability to live in this kind of world because we will experience all of these things. Most of you here have experienced pain and suffering. Personally, death of a loved one, death of a spouse, death of a child, death of a parent. Many of you experienced sickness, depression, discouragement, poverty, loneliness, longings that create incredible pain within your broken heart. And we live in a world where almost every day we hear of another natural disaster or a famine or a war. We hear of now 168 murders in the city of St. Louis. We've got to learn how to live in this world with pain and suffering and loss. I come from, of course, a tribe of Northern Europeans. My people, the Dutch folk, are pretty stoic, if you don't know. I was raised to keep a stiff upper lip. I was raised to learn that tough times don't last, but tough people do. But oftentimes this can simply be a denial of the reality of the pain and the brokenness in this world. Some of you may have come from families or churches where the response of your faith to the pain and the brokenness in this world is a simple pat answer, or maybe quoting a Bible verse that glosses over the evil and the pain and the suffering. Others, however, can so easily fall off the other side of the road into the pit of despair and cynicism, of anger and hopelessness, a lack of faith, being unwilling to believe that God or anyone else could bring anything good into this world. Today in Naomi and in Ruth, we see another way. We see another way forward. We see that Naomi is honest, honest at the gut level about how much she is hurting and her wrestle with God in the midst of her pain. But we also see that she can pour this out in relationship with God and with His people. We need to learn from Naomi how to lament in our pain. Now, of course, the Christian life is to be filled with different emotions. All right? Joy, gratitude, thanksgiving. celebration, contentment, delight, gladness. But there are times, church, when it is to be filled with lament. We are simply to cry and to pray out our sorrows, our frustration, and even our anger. I was in the hospital at one time with an African-American family, and it was clear that their relative was not going to come out of the coma. And that room was loud. There were tears. There was anguish. There was pain that was being expressed with groans and moaning in ways that made me and probably some others in the hospital uncomfortable. Did you know that in the Old Testament there were women who were appointed, trained, and equipped among the people of God to lead the people in mourning? What I saw in that hospital room wasn't so different than what God prescribes for his people in Jeremiah. In our Western culture, we're often very stoic. We have this idea that to feel pain and to express it honestly and deeply is inappropriate. Let's look at Naomi here, how honest she is. It's exceedingly bitter for me that the hand of the Lord has gone out from me. They enter into Bethlehem, which, just so you know, is not this big metropolis. It was a pretty small town, maybe 200 people. And the city gate was the Facebook of the day. How do you know what's going on? Well, it happens at the city gate. And they enter in, and they hadn't seen her. They're celebrating. Is this Naomi? Could it be? And she walks into their joy with her pain, and she says, "Don't call me pleasant, call me bitter." She goes on from there, and it's poetic, really. I asked Adina to put it out in the way that we see this poetry. It's two different stanzas. Do not call. Why call? Do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara. Why call me Naomi? But in both of these, you see that God is referred to by two of his names, the Almighty, El Shaddai, the all-powerful God, as well as Yahweh, Jehovah, the covenant God, the God of steadfast love. And in the first stanza, Naomi says, "The Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. I went away full, and I came back empty." She says, not only that, God has played the role here of not only the judge, but the prosecutor, and he has testified against me. It is bitter for me. The Almighty has brought calamity upon me. Can a person of faith speak like this? How do we reconcile this? Can we be honest with God in our pain? I don't know about you, but we often want to tidy things up, don't we? We want to give a simple answer, maybe thinking it will help somebody else out, but also because we want to cover over our own pain. Some would say that this is an expression of Naomi's lack of faith. I want to encourage you to think of the fact that this is actually an expression of Naomi's faith. Paul Miller says that good theology drives Naomi's frustration with God. She feels anguish precisely because she believes God is in control. Her faith in God, he says, drives her frustration with God because she believes God is both good and powerful, and yet she is in agony. How do we live in this tension? She lives in this tension between hope and reality. Miller goes on to say, a lament fits God's heart perfectly. God loves open, honest hearts, no matter how broken by life. Even if it's theologically incorrect, he invites us to come as we are, all messed up with our grief and our emotions. And you see here Naomi coming before God and his people as she is. A third of the Psalms are Psalms of lament. Listen to a couple of them. Psalm 10 starts out, "Why, O Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble?" Psalm 13, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me?" Our common response too often with the pain and the injustice and the brokenness in this world is that we either deny the reality of our pain or we somehow put God over to the side. We deny the reality of our pain by simply pretending that it doesn't exist, failing to allow ourselves to experience it, numbing ourselves with anything that we can choose. And so we become cold and hard. But another response is to just give up on the idea that God is somehow in control or that he is good in this situation. There's a word for that. It's called a deist. Somebody who lives as if God actually exists, but he's removed, he's distant, he's not engaged. And I would say that too often in our areas of pain or the brokenness in this world, we live as deists in relation to our pain. You don't see that from Naomi. You see her wrestle, and I would say that it is better to wrestle before God in a bold, a messy, and an uncomfortable way than to simply put God on the shelf and face your pain alone. She pours her heart out. I want to encourage you, church, when you are in trials, don't ignore it, don't deny it, don't run from it. Allow the mess to be there and allow yourself to be messy with other people as you pour out your heart. We see this, of course, most clearly in Job, don't we? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Faith in the midst of pain. If we had longer time for the sermon, there's so much more I could say. But I want to shift gears here and look at Ruth this morning. And I want us to learn from Ruth how to love others in their pain. Naomi cries out. It's unnerving. It's uncomfortable. How do we typically respond when we're around people who are in a real mess? Right? We try to avoid them, keep some distance. I don't want anything to do with that. Some other responses. I'm pretty good at these other responses. Most of us are. Men, we're especially good at these responses. Those responses are to correct and to fix. Right? Some of you guys are like, ah, okay, I'm there. Because, of course, these people are in their broken places because they're not thinking entirely clearly or they're not doing everything that they can or should be doing in this situation. I hear this and part of me wants to immediately speak up. Well, Naomi, you're really not seeing the whole picture here. Well, Naomi, let's think about how God is still being good to you. Or, Naomi, you should read this book on grief. Notice in the story, we oftentimes also, we find even in our hearts maybe that we want to criticize people when they're crying out. Paul Miller again says this, no one in the story criticizes Naomi for being disrespectful to God. Not the narrator. Not the village women, nor Ruth, nor does God. He just quietly wraps her in his arms for the rest of her life. How do you respond when people are in pain? What Naomi needs is the same thing you and I need. Someone to be with her and weep with her. And that's the very thing that Ruth provides. They cry together. They weep. And Ruth clung to her. Again, Miller says, good theology lets us endure quietly with someone else's pain when all the pieces are not together. When we hear a lament, we enter into that person's pain. That's called, he says, incarnation. And it's the most basic structure of love. In this love, we enter the broken world of another. We let the weight of that world come on us. To enter into others' brokenness means that our hearts will be broken along with them. Ruth shows us how to love, to be with, to weep. I remember a while ago I was talking to a friend, and I'm Mr. Fix-It, I'll tell you that. I want to solve problems, and I want to correct things. But I was talking to a friend, and I just listened for a little while. And I just said, that must be so hard for you. And they said, thank you. They needed someone to be with them in their pain. I encourage you to just be with one another when you're in times of pain. Also, just real quickly want to point out something that we see here in this story. Loving others who are in especially painful places will often mean that you will go unseen yourself. Do you see what happens when they enter into Bethlehem? Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. My life is exceedingly bitter. I went away empty and I went away full and I came back empty. And of course, who's right there? Ruth. Now, if I'm Ruth, I'm like, what am I? I mean, like, I left my family and my people and my tribe and my food and my religion and my culture, and here I am, and you say you're empty. But she remains silently showing love to one who at this point cannot see her kindness because of her pain. That's the cost of love. Finally, just want to reflect on the last couple verses here. And I want us to see this from the perspective of the narrator, who closes with these words. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law with her, who returned from the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. Where is God in the midst of your pain? There's no way we can begin to talk comprehensively about that question this morning, but I want to learn a little bit from these last verses here. Naomi certainly cannot see God's goodness at the moment. She feels God is against her. And if that is the whole story, then there really is no hope for her or for you or for me. But I love how this passage ends. Why did the narrator say this? They came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. Because once again, there's bread in the house of bread. And this story that has been so full of pain and sorrow at what looks like the lowest point in the drama provides us with a hint of hope for the future. We know from the rest of the story, and we'll get there, that that very harvest would lead to provision, to redemption, to life. God is present even though Naomi can't see it. Of course, there's another sign of God's goodness that Naomi is missing at the moment, and it's the one who is right beside her, Ruth. Ruth wept with her. Ruth clung to her. Ruth entered her broken world, entered into her pain. Where is God? God is loving Naomi through Ruth. So many of you have experienced that. When God seems absent, there's a friend or a family member, community group member who listens and loves and prays. God's presence through his people. But this is not just a good story about how to learn how to lament and how to love. We'll learn later on in the story that Ruth is not only an amazing woman, she's an amazing great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother to another who would enter into this messed up, painful, broken world. To another who would come and take on the brokenness and bear the weight of the pain. To another, Jesus Christ himself, who would share in our sufferings and become like us in every way except without sin and become obedient to death that we might have life and healing. See, Ruth. Ruth is a picture of the one who will come. Christ himself. Who himself would bring his lament on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? And in his own pain, would also cry out, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. He would then rise again, where he right now lives to make intercession for you. And he would send his Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who dwells within us. Where is God? He's present in ways that we can't see. He's present in his people. He's present in a way that you hopefully will see as the trials of today create the testimony of tomorrow. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the honesty of your word. Lord, teach us how to live in this broken world, not to ignore the reality of brokenness, but also not to separate you from our hurt. Help us, God, to be a community that loves so well, not just those who are easy to love, but those who are in pain. And open our eyes, Lord, in the midst of it all, to see your grace and your goodness. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I want to invite you to stand, church. We're going to come to the Lord's table and look to Christ this morning.